Amen. Well, welcome to this meeting here at Sharon Baptist Church, and we want to welcome you to Adult Sunday School. I know that this is just a little bit different, and so we're so thankful that you would tune in with us. Let me just start out with a few announcements before we get going here today. I wanted to let you know that, first of all, if you go to our website, SharonBaptistHamptonVA.com, you'll find on there that the bulletin is already posted on there, and then also the prayer bulletin is posted on there as well. And so we want to encourage you to go online, go to our webpage, and then also look at both the Sunday bulletin and then also the church bulletin. Many of your prayer requests were turned in on Wednesday night. We so thank you for tuning in for that. And so you'll find those in the prayer bulletin, and we want you to utilize that resource. I will just highlight just a few things. As you know, we're not able to meet physically here at Sharon Baptist Church, and so Pastor has already pushed some things to the right. And so if you'll look at that, you'll see the men's prayer breakfast, the church work day, also the revival, and then the cottage prayer meetings. All of those things will be on the church calendar, but they're pushed to the right because of all that is taking place right now. And so please do pay attention to that. Again, you can go online to our website. You can go down to where it says our calendar and click on there, and it'll show you all that's going on in the life of Sharon Baptist Church. Also, we wanted to make mention as well as we continue on in the life of Moses this morning in Adult Sunday School. I'd like you to take your books and follow along with us. And so if you do have your books, please do use those. Have your Bible out. Really follow along, fill in the blanks, those kinds of things. And we want you to do that. But if for some reason your book is here at Sharon Baptist Church, and maybe you left it here, as some of you do, you can actually go online to our website as well. And if you scroll about halfway down, you'll see a circle that says The Life of Moses. If you'll click on that, it'll take you to the page with all the audio from the previous lessons. But there is a PDF right there that you can access that is a duplicate of the book that you would have in your hand. And so if you don't have your physical copy of the notes, you can go online and be able to download that PDF and scroll down and be able to see all the notes as we go through them today. And by the way, let me just say this, is you are more than welcome to share this with other folks. And so many other people are in the same situation we are, not able to meet together for services. Perhaps you know somebody that doesn't, their church does not live stream. You're welcome to invite them to meet with us here online at Sharon Baptist Church. And so we wanted to make sure that we make all of those items available to you. Again, if you have any concerns or questions or any of those things, Pastor Carol is available to you for you to be able to reach out to him via phone or via text message, and he'd be happy to address any concerns that you have. Of course, we want you to continue giving of your tithes and your offerings, and there was three different ways that you can do that. Again, you can go online to our online giving page. There's actually apps that you can download both for an Apple phone and an Android phone to where you can give online, but then also you're welcome to mail your tithe and offering check in here to Sharon Baptist Church. We are still receiving mail. And then as well, during normal business hours during the week, you're welcome to come by and drop off your tithe and offering check directly. With all of those things being said, we're going to open up in a word of prayer. And if you have your books, I'll ask that you turn in your books to page 22 in the life of Moses. And we're going to be looking at, again, his submission and his success. So page number 22. And just know, we're going to skip through about six or seven chapters in the book of Exodus this morning. So we're going to be moving pretty quickly. So I need you to keep up with me. And we'll get through this lesson and maybe a little bit into the next lesson. By the way, as we finish up this morning for Sunday school, we're going to continue the live stream. and that will roll right into the morning service. There'll be a little bit of a break in between, and then we'll start right about on 11 o'clock, but the live stream will be just the same. It'll just keep running, and so just keep it running there at your house, and it'll go right into the morning service. So let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that even though we cannot meet physically together, that, Lord, you have provided the means and the ways for us to meet together online. And, Father, we thank you so much for the technology that exists, that we're able to use for your honor and for your glory. Father, we thank you for those, your children, Father, that are meeting with us today. And, Father, there are many concerns in the hearts and the minds of your people. No doubt that there are some fears and some wonderings as to what's going to take place. But Father, we admit readily this morning again that you are in control of all things. And Father, we understand that whatever is taking place right now is not a surprise to you. You know exactly what's going on. And Father, we so thank you that we have an opportunity to grow in faith and to be strengthened in our walk with you. And Father, I pray that you would speak to each and every heart. Father, I pray that you would give peace in the heart of your people. I pray that they would be a light and a testimony to those around them. And Father, even as we've heard this week of individuals having an open door of opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus Christ because of all that's going on, I pray that all of this would go for your honor and for your glory. And so, Father, would we hear about many folks being saved? We pray that would be the case because of what's taking place right now. And Lord, I pray specifically that your people would be found faithful. Oh Lord, that they would draw closer to you during this time of difficulty and this time of trial. And Father, would you sustain us? Lord, we think about those that have physical infirmities this morning, those who are dealing with sickness, and those who are separated from their loved ones. And Father, we pray especially for them. We pray that your hand of healing would be upon them. Of course, Lord, we pray for the situation that's going on with this virus, COVID-19, and we pray for our federal government, the decisions that they make. We pray, Father, for our state government, and then also our local government. And Father, all the businesses and places of work that are having to make decisions, Father, would you guide and direct them, help them to be wise in the things that they do. And then, Father, I pray also for those who are sick this morning that have contracted the virus, Father, that your hands would be upon them. And Lord, I pray out of all of this, again, that you would get glory and honor. Father, would you be with us now as we look in the Word of God, and Father, speak to our hearts, help us to be different after hearing the preaching and teaching of your Word today than we were before we heard it. And we ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. All right, so open your Bibles and turn again to Exodus chapter number 5, and we're looking in the life of Moses. This is about the midway point through the series in the life of Moses, and I'll remind you all of the lessons up to this point are posted online so you can go back and review them. But we're looking at this particular area. It's his submission and his success. We started very briefly into this particular chapter last week, and we looked at the fact that Moses is now 80 years of age. And it's interesting to me, as Moses starts out on this faith journey, really moving forward for the Lord, he is at 80 years of age. I can't imagine being called to such a task at that particular age. We're reminded that his brother is 83 years of age, or somewhere around that age. And so we would say this, that they're hardly youth. And Moses had some difficult beginnings. We saw he had some difficulty in his home life. We saw that he was kind of trying to get out of God's calling to go and stand before Pharaoh. But though he had some difficult beginnings, he submitted himself to God. We find as him and Aaron went back to Egypt and they ran into the nation of Israel, that they were willing to go along with Moses and Aaron to move forward with God's plan for releasing that nation from Egypt. And so that was certainly an intimidating task, no doubt, if you had to stand in front of all the leaders of your people and announce to them that this is what God's plan is. It would be kind of scary. But Moses was able to do that as he stood before the Lord. But now he's going to do something even more intimidating. He's won the consent of the people, but now he realizes he must go in front of Pharaoh and deliver this message. Thus saith the Lord. We said this last week, that how could somebody do such a thing? Stand in front of the world's ruler and be able to proclaim a message, thus saith the Lord. And we're reminded how Elijah the Tishbite did. You see, Elijah the Tishbite stood before King Ahab and he announced, thus saith the Lord. And it tells us in the Bible, and Elisha the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, now here it is, before whom I stand. And we noted this, is that if we're standing before God, we can certainly stand before man. And what an important thing that is to remember, is that as God would direct us, we would have power before man. Moses would obediently perform God's will, and this would eventually result in the releasing of the nation of Israel. I asked this question of you last week when we did meet. It was simply this, is what is your measure of success? And we got many different answers from people that were here. Some people said, well, if I had a lot of money in the bank account, boy, that would be success. Other people said, if I was able to get through life with my family intact, that would be success. Other folks said, boy, if I just had somebody that loved me, that would be success. And I made this statement that, look, our measures of success resides in our obedience to Jesus Christ. When you think about the life of Moses, Moses was going to proclaim a message to Pharaoh that Pharaoh would not hear. As a matter of fact, God had told him, Moses, when you go into Pharaoh, his heart is going to be hardened. He's not going to release the nation of Israel. And I want you to know that up front. And so Moses is going into this thing knowing that Pharaoh's not going to listen. And when you and I look at the situation, we would say this, well, success would be the nation of Israel leaving out of Egypt. But I would submit to you this, that God could use any means and any mode necessary to release the nation of Israel at any time. He could bring some type of natural disaster and wipe out the nation of Egypt. He could bring some type of pestilence, like a virus that we're dealing with here in the United States, to get rid of the nation of Egypt. He could send an angelic being to go into the host and get rid of the armies of the Egyptians if he so desired. And so really and truly, God doesn't necessarily need Moses to release the nation of Israel, but Moses needs God. And I want you to realize this morning, that you and I, our measure of success resides in our obedience to Jesus Christ. So look at there with me the first point, and I want you to see it as we're in Exodus chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The first point in your book, the blank there, is the beginning of his submission. The beginning of his submission. Letter A, we see this, his first presentation. Let me read chapter number 5 and verse number 1. It says this, and afterwards, this is after talking to the children of Israel, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, now here's the message, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And so we see here Moses and Aaron go in, and it's their first presentation. We're going to take the time and look at this first presentation specifically, but if you know anything, this would be one of many times that Moses would stand before Pharaoh. How often it is that you and I treat the Christian life as a one-time static event. Oftentimes, we're looking for instant success in the Christian life. We want Instapot Christianity, as I said last week. But we understand this, is it doesn't happen that way in the Christian life. It is a day-by-day thing. Each and every day we get up as a child of God is a new day in the Lord. Each and every day we get up, we're stepping right back into the battle, the spiritual warfare that we have been placed into. And we understand that nature teaches us the same thing. And I mentioned to you last week, when's the last time you saw a child go from being a baby to growing full stature overnight? It never happens. And I mentioned also about the towering redwoods. We wouldn't expect to plant a tree in the ground and it be a seedling and then the next day it be a towering redwood. No, it takes lots of time. And we see here this illustrated in Moses, his continuing submission to be able to go before Pharaoh, to be able to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and even knowing that Pharaoh's going to harden his heart and say no. And so we see his first presentation there. And notice the proclamation. He uses these words, "Thus saith the Lord." I want you to understand this morning that we are ambassadors of the great King. It is our submission to Christ, and we don't bring a message of our own making, but one of Jesus Christ. Now get this, at His bidding. Let us be men and women of the gospel, not according to our own working or making, but in the simplicity of Jesus Christ. And we find here Moses faithfully discharges not an addendum to God's message, not a partial giving of God's message, but he gives his message and his message only. It's so important that we do not add to or take away from the Word of God. We say, "Thus saith the Lord," and it must be God's message that we are communicating. It was our responsibility to take the Word of God and to proclaim that message or to preach the gospel to every creature. What we need today is we need men and women of the Bible. And boy, that's so important. We need people that know the Word of God. And that way we can proclaim that message. That way we can deliver that message. We're not adding to it. We're not taking away from it. We're not giving part of the message, but we're giving the whole message that God has given to us. What we see is first presentation, but I also want you to notice here his first provocation. If you'll skip down in that chapter, there is a dialogue that takes place between Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh. And as we get down to verse number 19 there, actually you can look back up at verse number 17, we find the words of Pharaoh in response to this message, "Thus saith the Lord." And in verse number 17 there, Pharaoh states this, "But he said," speaking about the children of Israel, "ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks." Oh man, can you imagine Moses and Aaron? They knew Pharaoh was going to reject his message, but did they know that Pharaoh was going to do this? He was going to make life even more difficult for the nation of Israel than they had it before. And so now, can you imagine the hearts of Moses and Aaron sinking down, thinking, "Oh man, look at the position we're now put in. We delivered the message. We said, thus saith the Lord. We did exactly what God wanted us to do, and now my people are in a worse position than they were in before." Notice what it says there in verse number 20. It says, "And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh." And here it comes, verse 21. "And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." Notice that we see, number one in your notes there, a repeat of the reviling. No doubt Moses' mind in that very moment would be compelled to remember the rejection that he received the last time he attempted to help the people. If you remember, before he fled Egypt, he tried to separate some brothers, and they didn't want anything to do with that. Of course, when they came back after God's direction, the people were consenting to them. They bowed their heads and worshiped, and they were willing to go along with this. And now that Moses followed God's direction, and he goes into Pharaoh and says, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go," and Pharaoh rejects this, and then makes it more difficult for the nation of Israel. Now the people are back to block number one, if you will. They don't want anything to do with Moses. They don't want anything to do with Aaron. And here Moses, no doubt in his mind and his heart, is thinking, "Oh man, here I am again in a place where the people are reviling me. They're rejecting me." The actions were not accounted to God by the people, but rather the messenger was impugned. In other words, they weren't blaming God for this. They were blaming Moses and Aaron. And we see what a tremendous thing it is for you and I to know that it's often the messenger that is reviled because of obedience to God. I want you to understand, as a Christian, as you move forward for Jesus Christ, that oftentimes the messenger, you, will be reviled because of your obedience to God. Moses would have to learn this, the reproach of Jesus Christ. Every Christian who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And sadly, this persecution can come from all sides, even from the people to whom you are trying to help. Of course, the attacks of the wicked one would not help in this matter in the lives of these people. They were made to serve with even more rigor. And when people are hurting and under affliction, they often will lash out to those around them. Make note that the devil will use whatever means necessary he can to discourage you from obedience to Jesus Christ. If you know anything about the life of Moses, you know that this will just be the one of many times that the people will provoke Moses or revile Moses, though he is doing the right things. So what are you and I to do in those difficult times? What are we to do when it seems like everybody's turning against us and all we're doing is headed down the path that God would have us to do? All we're doing is being obedient to our Lord and Savior. What do we do? Well, notice in your books, number two, we need a reminder of God's calling. A reminder of God's calling. This one verse is very pertinent to this in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 24, and it says this: "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And so we think about this calling that God has upon our lives to be a witness, to be a testimony, to be light in a dark world. And the truth of the matter is, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And that passage, if you would study it out, is speaking about God's preservation of you and I until eternity. He says in the prior verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." But the truth for you and I resides in verse number 24, nonetheless, that faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I want you to understand that God does not do anything halfway or half-heartedly. For Moses, he must remind himself often that it is God that called him. The results rest squarely upon God himself. This is why it's so important that the way that you and I go is the way that God would have us to go. Paul said it this way concerning his confidence in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17. Paul, of course, is in a precarious situation. He is locked up in prison. And this is his comment on the situation. He says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, But all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. He says, notwithstanding, or in other words, whatever the case is, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Aren't you so glad this morning that God is able to deliver you out of the mouth of the lion? That regardless of whether everybody else turns their back, whether everybody else forsakes us, as we're obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're going down the path that He has for us, that He can deliver us from the mouth of the lion. What do we do when everybody seems to turn our back on us? We remind ourselves that it is God that calleth you, who also will do it. Well, notice not only that, but let us see his first supplication. We had his first presentation, then we had his first provocation, and now let us see in your notes, we see his first supplication. Notice there in chapter number 5, in verse number 22, the Bible says, "And Moses returned unto who? The Lord." That's so important for you and I to note that as Moses was reviled of the people, as he was rejected by Pharaoh, as he was cast out, if you will, that he didn't return to himself, he didn't return to his best friend down the street. It says he returned to guess who? The Lord. And he said unto the Lord, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name," verse 23, "he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." We see number one, the prayer he made. The Bible says in verse 22, he returned to the Lord. This return to the Lord is one of the most wonderful, glorious patterns we'll see over and over again in the life of Moses. When Moses gets in trouble, you can mark it down. The first place that he goes is right back to the Lord. And boy, that's an admonishment for you and I. At first trouble, Moses is found to go to God. At our first trouble, guess what? We should be found to going to God. This is not to say we should be away from God until trouble strikes, but rather we should run to God quickly when trouble strikes. Moses did not understand, and let me just say for you this morning, oftentimes we do not understand the situations that are going on around us. I'm sure many this morning, as we think about this virus and how it has riddled the United States and it's riddled the world and things are shut down and the economy is going south, we're thinking in our minds, boy, I just few verses, we find the reason why Moses did not understand. Notice in verse number 23, he says, "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Here's the reason Moses did not understand. Are you ready for this? Moses did not understand because he did not understand. You say, "Pastor James, you just repeated yourself." And I tell you this, yes, I just repeated myself. Moses did not see the logic in what was taking place. He did not see the end result of what would take place down the road or how it would take place. He could not look through the portals of time and see the revelation of Jesus Christ, both as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He could not see the glory of God displayed throughout the entire earth. Moses could not see the new heavens and the new earth. He did not know Jerusalem or even think about or contemplate New Jerusalem descending from heaven. You see, Moses had no idea about the church age and the Gentiles that would be saved down the line. He did not understand God's ways are not his ways. We're troubled oftentimes with our inability to understand. You see, he questioned God's plan and implied that God was wrongfully allowing evil upon his people. F.B. Meyer had this to say concerning the matter.
He says God's ways are to bring man to an end of himself before he arises to their help. You see, our efforts to deliver ourselves only end in increasing perplexities. I think that's pretty good, and how true that is. In chapter number 6, in verse 2 through 8, we read this. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, notice these words, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abram and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I've established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, notice these words, I am the Lord. You notice what we need to know tonight, or this morning, I'm sorry, what we need to keep in mind in the midst of the tribulations and the trials and the perplexities that we see around us. We need to understand simply this, that God says, I am the Lord. You see, this is the message that Moses needed to know. This is the promise of God to Moses. So we see number two, the promises, promise to God. Notice letter two in your books there, if you'll fill in the blank there, the continuing of his submission. So we have the first part, the beginning of his submission, and I want you to see the second part, which is this, the continuing of his submission. Turn over to Exodus chapter number 6 now, in verse number 9. The Bible says, and Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but notice these next words, but they hearkened not unto Moses for what? For anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. We see letter A, the denying of the people. And so God reassures his servant Moses. He says, I am the Lord. He says, you need to trust me. And of course, Moses had cried out in prayer saying, I don't understand. So Moses gets this assurance from God. And he says, you know what? I'm going to submit myself to God. I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to still go forth and say, thus saith the Lord. And here we see that he does such. And guess what? Letter A, the denying of the people. In Moses' life, to learn submission to God, he must learn that following God oftentimes means going against the majority. Moses, after his time of prayer and God's response, goes back to the people and says that he spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses. Now the Holy Spirit tells us the root of the problem. When you think about why is it that these people are not willing to follow? What is the root of their problem? What is the root of the reason why they're turning away from Moses? And the Holy Spirit tells us because of their difficulties. Notice it says, for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And it is here that Moses communicates the seven I will statements that God gave him in verses 6 through 8. Moses is going to go on and he's going to comfort the people with these I will statements. In verse number 1, he says, I will bring you out from the burdens of Egypt. He says, secondly, I will rid you out of their bondage. He says, number 3, I will redeem you with an outstretched out arm. He says, number 4, I will take you to me for a people. Number 5, I will be to you a God. Number 6, I will bring you unto the land. And then number 7, I will give it to you as a heritage. But yet the people denied the promises of God. We find our submission to God is not based on the results of the people. I want you to get that this morning, that your submission to God, your obedience to God, is not based on the results of everybody else around you. It is between you and the Lord. And you and I this morning need to just move forward and say, regardless of what goes on around me, regardless of what goes on in this city or in this nation or in this country or in this world, that I am going to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Even if everyone else forsakes the Lord, I'm going to move forward for Jesus. And we see here that Moses would have to learn to submit himself to God even when the people turn their backs. We see letter B, the declaring of the Lord in chapter number 6 and verses 10 through 13, and then chapter 7 and verse 1 through 9. Notice there in verse number 10, as if ignoring what the people had said, the Lord declares this, "Go in and speak unto Pharaoh." You can probably hear the internal groaning of the Spirit, but don't you want to fix the attitude of this people first? I know Pastor Dave and I would be thinking the same thing. The people are groaning, they're moaning, they're rejecting God, and God says, go in and speak unto Pharaoh. And we're thinking, boy, God, don't you want to fix the people first? Don't you want to correct all their problems first? But God says, go in and speak to Pharaoh. We find God gives Moses directions in verses 1 through 9. God gives Moses authority in verse number 1. God gives Moses insight in verse number 3 through 5. And then God gives Moses assurance in verses 3 through 5 in chapter 7. In other words, we could say this, that as Moses was submissive and obedient, God gave Moses what he would need to be successful: direction, authority, insight, and assurance. There is no repeal in God's word. And we can learn from what transpired in Moses' life the same truth, that while the task that God has called us to may be enormous and complex, God can and will help us along the way. Boy, it'd be one thing if we saw Moses stepping out on a limb and God just allowed him to flounder around. But instead, we see Moses' submission and the success that will follow because of this. I'm reminded this morning about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who refused to bow down to the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. If you remember the situation, King Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler at the time of Great Babylon. He had conquered all the known nations. The nation of Israel was in captivity. It seemed like God had fled from them, if you will, and they were all on their own. But yet we find their statement is very telling in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16 and verse 17. Here's what they replied to this great king, Nebuchadnezzar, this powerful ruler. They said, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." The question for you and I this morning becomes this: are we going to trust the word of God and submit ourselves to him in obedience? Or are we going to allow the world around us to influence us in the direction the devil would have us to go? And I think the answer is pretty clear for the Christian, that we need to trust God and be obedient to him and go the way that the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to go. Well, we see Moses did that. Let us see the discharge of Moses. Now, as we look at chapters 7 through 12, really we're going to skip through these chapters. I want you to see the discharge of Moses. In other words, what did Moses do in the midst of these difficulties? How did Moses respond when the people rejected him and God said, go in unto Pharaoh? Well, here we see, first of all, number one, the rod and the serpents. If you'll notice in verse number 10, the Bible tells us this phrase, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh." Now notice this last part, "And they did so as what? The Lord had commanded." So here, Moses and Aaron did exactly what God told them to do. If you skip down to the next one, number 2, the water turned to blood in chapter number 7 and verse 20. Isn't it isn't it something that we see this very same phrase? It says, they did so as the Lord commanded. Then as you go down, number 3, to chapter number 8, in verses 1 through 5, 9, 10, 12, and 13, you'll find this, that they did so as the Lord commanded. You see, verses 12 and 13 of chapter 8 carefully tell us of the ongoing fellowship between God and Moses. The Bible says, and Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of their houses and out of the villages and out of the fields. Would the Lord hearken to Moses if he completely disregarded his word? The answer is no. But we find here to disobey is to trespass, and to regard iniquity in the heart, or holding on to disobedience, results in God not hearing our prayers. But here we see the wonderful outworking of a servant that is obedient to God. Here Moses cries out about the frogs, and the Bible says that the Lord did as Moses asked. You see, his submission to God afforded him great power with God. Moses discovered that it's better to be obedient than to sacrifice. And we find you and I oftentimes, how are we trying to interface with God on our own terms? I'm reminded of this phrase, there's a method behind the madness. Remember when you and I were young, if you have had the great pleasure of learning how to ride a bike, I want you to go back and think about that. Think about the experience that you went through and the process that you had to go through to learn how to ride a bike. You remember at first, oftentimes, learning to ride a bike, they put these training wheels on the side of your bike. And so you have the rear wheel of the bike, the front wheel of the bike, and you have this ugly contraption coming off the side. These two wheels, one on the left and one of the on the right. At first, you must learn to ride with training wheels. Then as you progress, perhaps mom and dad would hold your seat as they were running behind you, that you would be able to keep steady. Perhaps you got frustrated with the training wheels in the midst of all of that. After all, they looked stupid and the other big kids around them didn't have to have those. Maybe it is you got tired of falling over and losing your balance, but you're compelled over and over again to get up and to try again. At last, the steadying hand of your mom and dad or your loved one is behind you and carrying you the whole way. But lo and behold, as you look back one time or two, you see that they've let go and you didn't even know it. And next thing you know, guess what? You're riding a bike. You see, were it not for careful obedience, the walking by faith, you would never progress to the joyful experience of riding a bike on your own. Did it take some fallovers? Did it take some hurting? Did it take some perhaps embarrassing moments? You bet so it did. But in the end, boy, you were glad that your parents taught you how to ride that bike. We find as Moses continues here, he's learning this matter of submission. It's not a static one-time event, but over and over again, he's standing before Pharaoh. He's saying, thus saith the Lord. He's following the directions that God has for him. Number 4, we see the lies in verse chapter 18. And the Bible tells us, and they did so. I want you to notice that word they. It's not only Moses, but also Aaron. Hey, did you understand this? Your careful obedience and submission affects those around you. Hey, when you start moving forward for Jesus, others see that and they get encouraged. And guess what? They have strength to walk forward with Jesus too. And we see Moses and Aaron working together. And the Bible says they did so. We see the flies in chapter number 8 and verse 20 through 31. And we won't read that passage, but I want you to understand, in this matter of submission, the devil is going to come to you and want you to compromise. The devil is going to see what you're doing and following Jesus Christ. He's going to be disgusted at that, and he's going to come to you and want you to compromise. The devil will challenge you even with the very words of God, with Scripture itself. He wants to see how much you know and care to be obedient to the Lord. Remember, Satan tempted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 6, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Here he is quoting Scripture. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Satan was quoting Psalm chapter 91 and verse 11, and of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word incarnate, quoted the Word of God and rebuked the devil, and we see that he fled from him for a season. Number 6 in your books, we see Moses and Aaron are obedient in the grievous murrain. We see in number 7 in chapter 9 and verse 10, they're obedient with the boils. We see number 8, the hail and fire in chapter 9 and verse 22, 23, and 33. And the Bible tells us in verse 23 of chapter number 9, and Moses stretched forth his rod towards where? Towards heaven. Again, we see this converse between God and Moses, this fellowship that comes from obedience to the Lord. Verse 33 tells us Moses prayed, and guess what? God hearkened unto him. I think that's so important for you and I to understand. Boy, we lift up prayer requests all the time. We say, God, could you do this? And God, could you do that? Oh, Lord, touch them and heal that body. And yet we fail to be obedient to God. My friend, fellowship has to be intact with us when we speak to God. We want to be close to the Lord. We want sin out of the way. And we cry out to God and he hears our prayers and answers our requests. We see the locust, number 9 in chapter 10 and verse number 3, 4, and 8 through 11. Remember in our continuing submission to the Lord that just because you didn't fall for the enemy's tricks once, he will come to you again. And here we see this, the devil once again comes and uses Pharaoh to tempt Moses and Aaron to try and half-heartedly follow the command that God would have them to do. Let me ask you this, is it ever okay to disobey God? And the answer is no. It's never okay for us to disobey God. Well, we see number 10, the darkness in chapter number 10, verse 21 and 22 and 24 through 26. And again, we see him, Moses, stretch forth his hand towards where? Towards heaven. And then as we get to chapter number 11, really, this culminates everything. This is the end state of careful obedience and submission to God. You see, by this time, Moses has gotten the program. He has had to understand continuing faithful submission and obedience to God. However, these last two chapters catalog something completely different, something that has never been seen before. Perhaps people have seen the multitude of frogs before. No doubt the Egyptians had seen plagues before of different animals and things. Perhaps they'd seen a multitude of frogs come up out of the Nile before. Maybe perhaps they'd seen before some locust swarms in their times past that had devoured their crops. Maybe they had experienced murrain of the cattle, some type of disease that had killed off their cattle before. Maybe some of them had experienced boils on their flesh and had had problems with that in times past. Maybe they'd seen hail come from nature before and had experienced that in times past. But this would be different. This would be the pinnacle of faith for the nation of Israel and the key test of submission for Moses. He was to instruct the people. They were to take a lamb, and they would take that lamb, and they would sacrifice that lamb and capture the blood. They would cook the lamb, and then they would devour, the household would take in the full amount of that lamb in a night. We understand now that it was the blood of the Passover lamb. We understand now, looking back, the type and picture of the Passover lamb, because we understand how precious and important the specific commands that God gave Moses were. Those commands were this: a male lamb of the first year. Those commands were a lamb that was without blemish. Those commands were that a timing had to be adhered to. Those commands were the slaying of that lamb, the capturing of the blood, and the application of that blood both to the doorway, the side posts, and the lintels. That description was for the partaking of the flesh for those inside. All of these were specific. The Bible says in chapter 12 and verse number 13, "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." There were no exceptions to this. How crucial was it for Moses to be submissive and obedient in this matter? Perhaps he would feel foolish explaining this unheard of thing. Place yourself in Moses' shoes for a moment, not talking to just a few folks, but talking to a multitude and explaining to them that they were to take a lamb of the first year, a lamb without blemish. They were to sacrifice that lamb, catch the blood in a pail. They were to take that blood and apply it to the lintels and the side posts. And they were to devour that lamb from inside the house. And they were to wait quietly as the destroyer would come through and kill all the firstborn. Can you imagine how foolish that story might have sounded? But yet we find Moses was obedient. I'm reminded of the prophet Ezekiel, who was commanded to eat dung, to lay on his side, and to play war depicting the siege of Jerusalem. And you and I would think, how foolish the commands of God. Thank God for the obedience of his servants down through the centuries. You and I ought to take this careful lesson of submission and success to heart. After all this, Moses and now the fledgling nation of Israel would leave the country. Exodus chapter number 11 and verse 1 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. And when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether." No doubt, as we close here, some amazing lessons have transpired in the life of the nation of Israel. But we also see God teaching and training who? His servant, Moses. All of this, by the way, is preparatory for what would lay ahead. God is not done with his people, the nation of Israel, nor is he done with, guess who? Moses. Many more lessons would be learned by Moses as we move forward in the life of Moses. I give you this quote from A.W. Tozer. It's so important, I think. It says, "The man who has met God is not looking for something. He has found it. He is not searching for light. Upon him, the light has already shined." In this season of difficulties, as we think about all that's going on, you and I, the only thing we need is Jesus. It is Christ is all we need. And this is what A.W. Tozer was expressing. This is what Moses found to be true as he stood before Pharaoh and as the people forsook him, that, listen, God is all I need. Obedience and submission to him is so important. Philippians 3 and verse 13 and 14, this memory verse says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this example.